Welcome once again to Beef News and Notes, information for both the producers and the consumers of our great product, beef. Well, over the years, our area has produced many successful leaders in our agricultural way of life. One of these individuals is with us today, Gary Wordish of Renville. Gary is the current president of the Minnesota Farmers Union, a position which he has held for more than 2 years. How are you doing today, Gary?
Pretty well, Mark. It's good to be on with you.
Well, Gary, if you were to write a book on your career so far, it would be an interesting one at that. Can you just share with our listeners your path to where you're at right now in your career?
I know, it's interesting. You know, I grew up on a family farm like, you know, most of us in that area, a diversified farmer. You had all types of livestock, and, you know, that was pretty traditional at the time. And, you know, at that time, I always knew I wanted to work in agriculture. I didn't necessarily know if I wanted to be a farmer or not, but then I worked off the farm for a short time in Wisconsin, actually, at a Farmers Union cooperative. And, you know, I enjoyed working with the farmers, but then, you know, it's still, I got bored, actually, in the off times where when you're off season where you had 8 to 5 hours. It kind of bored me, and I had a chance to come back and help my father farm, and that's where I enjoyed that. And now I help my son. I rent my land to a farm to my son, and I help him. So I really enjoy that, and like getting my fingers in the soil.
All right. Well, and it gives you a really good background for the position that you're holding with Farmers Union. I always think in agriculture, some of the leadership that we've got politically sometimes lacks some experience in the practical side of farming, and I'm glad you can bring that to the plate. So Farmers Union has been a strong partner with rural agriculture in Minnesota. What would you say are some of the major accomplishments of the Minnesota Farmers Union, and what are some of the organization's objectives in the near future, Gary?
Well, we've, you know, on a national level, we've been very involved in a lot of, in the, you know, past farm bills and that type of stuff. And actually, you go way back to actually the Rural Electrification Act. You know, we were very involved at a national organization helping getting that passed, which, you know, definitely, you know, we wouldn't be in that time, it was the electric companies at that time weren't willing to bring their, you know, there wasn't enough customers outstate, so that a national, you know, that's a major accomplishment. But more in a state level, you know, recently the ethanol industry is quite large in Minnesota. We've been a leader in that, and the Farmers Union was, you know, and that took a couple of things. It took we had the renewable fuel mandate or an ethanol bill where all the ethanol had to be in Minnesota had to be 10% blended with ethanol or all the gasoline. But the legislation at that time provided a mandate for that. For that market, and it also provided a bankable loan to the lenders. So at that time, all the original ethanol plants were formed as cooperatives. So it did two things: it gave them a mandated market in the bankable loan. So that really jump started our industry within the state, which is a good example of a good form of government. You know, we like to complain about government a lot, but, you know, there's some good examples of good government. And, you know, that's where we, you know, as Farmers Union, we try and get involved and try and end up with, you know, government that works for the people. And I think that's in everybody's best interest. But that, you know, that's a major, you know, it's a major, you know, that really had an input. And it's helped the cattle feeding industry within the state of Minnesota, too.
That's exactly right. I was just going to add that because that is a major reason why we've seen the increase in cattle numbers here. And like Nebraska, a huge part of the reason that they're number one now in numbers in the nation over Texas. So that's exactly right. Where are we, Gary, right now with this whole thing? I hear different things where you'd like to go to, you know, like a 30% or 15% is what I should say. And there's some pushback from oil companies. What are you hearing?
Well, I know the administration, announced their support of the moving to E15, but now with the government shutdown, that's all on a hold too, because they got to come up with proposed rules, and none of that's going to happen until the government opens back up. But the administration has proposed, you know, the EPA to move to an E15 mandate, and you know, that's encouraging. But the other side, we do have to close down. They were issuing hardship waivers, so, you know, oil refineries. So we do need to get that closed down too, or else we're letting more out the bottom than we're porting in the top, basically, of increased demand. So that's something we got to continue working on. You know, Farmers Union, the National Farmers Union, we hired a staff person, I believe, 2 years ago, and it followed our national convention where we moved to support up to higher blends of ethanol up to E30. And so we hired a staff person in D.C. just to work, you know, specifically on that issue. So we're very involved in that. You know, ethanol, it is a win-win. You know, it's providing good-paying jobs out in rural communities, but it also is lowering the price of gas to the consumer. So we come out, you know, it's a win for all, for everybody. You know, there was some criticism a few years back when petroleum was $4 a gallon. They were, you know, there's criticism of that ethanol, too, has taken the food versus fuel debate. But you know, the byproduct of the ethanol does go, like we said earlier, into the cattle feeding industry. So it does help balance. It helps our rural economy. It helps the national economy, too, because it, you know, gives us a little more national security on our own fuels.
Those are really good points, Gary, and I think we're going to continue to see a growth in numbers here in the state of Minnesota in the cattle industry, and just thanks to you and Farmers Union for being a part of it. In closing, I would just be remiss if I didn't bring up the Beck and Check Fest. If you haven't been there, Gary, along with several others, are the hard workers that put on this great festival every year. And just asking you, Gary, your involvement, how many years have you been involved with that?
Well, from the beginning, the church closed in 92. They closed the parish, and we started a festival that same year, so however many years that is, from 1992 until now. So it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun, too. We get a lot of people that have connections and come back, and some will have family reunions. We get people that, you know, come as far from California to come and support it, and it's just a good connection. It's really a good community gathering, and that, you know, that's it's a lot of work, but, you know, in Mark, I know you've been helping me there too, you know, that day of the festival, helping do some grilling, and we appreciate that. And if anybody else is willing to volunteer, we certainly can use more. But it's a good, fun event, and it, you know, it's all about family, and it's all about community, and that, you know, we're in such a fast-paced world now, we kind of forget about those things, and, you know, it's important to keep that connection.
That's right. Well, Gary, thanks a lot for being on the program. Maybe we can do this again, and best wishes for you in 2019.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
Until next week, thanks for listening, and we will talk again.